It's my pleasure to welcome our guest speaker today as we continue our bicentenary sermon series. So let us welcome Reverend Dr. Chiang Ming-shun, who is the Dean of Students and the Acting Dean of Academic at Trinity Theological College, and he's also the lecturer in church history. So let's give a warm welcome to our speaker today. Pleased that you're here to share God's word with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Good morning, everybody. Would you please pray with me? Father, as we look to you and your word now, we ask you to please speak to all of us. Give us understanding so that we will not just be hearers of your word, but doers as well. Amen. So I'm delighted to be back at St. Andrews. I was last year preaching in September 2017. But recently I did a cathedral podcast on Christians as citizens. And after that, your vicar invited me to come speak to you on the same topic. I want to thank Ken and Terry Wong for this opportunity. This, after all, is a special year for Singapore. We are celebrating our bicentennial, 200 years since the Stamford Raffles arrived here in 1819. And speaking of anniversaries, 2 months ago, on the 6th of August, it was the anniversary, the 74th anniversary, of the dropping of the atomic bomb. At 8:16 in the morning Japanese time, the Enola Gay, an American B-29 Super Fortress bomber, dropped the first ever atom bomb, nicknamed Little Boy, on the city of Hiroshima. It exploded 600 meters above a hospital. The blast killed 60,000 people. 80,000, sorry. Another 60,000 would die by the end of the year from the fallout. But I'm sure you are not too interested about that. No, you're probably more interested about what happened on the 9th of August. And you all know what happened on the 9th of August. Yes. Yes, the second atom bomb was dropped on Japan. At 11:02 a.m. on the 9th of August, another B-29 bomber, call sign Boxcar, dropped America's second atom bomb, nicknamed Fat Man, on Nagasaki Shipbuilding Center. And it was this second bomb that forced the Japanese Emperor Hirohito to meet with the War Council and give his permission for unconditional surrender. That ended the Second World War. Something else happened on the 9th of August. What was it now? Of course, it is our National Day, a great time of celebration. And every year, my Bible study group meets somewhere to watch the parade together on television. This year, my group met in a room at the JW Marriott Hotel on Beach Road, where we saw the armored column forming up. And we hung up a Singapore flag in the room and, as always, had a great time. How many of you have been to the parade? Quite a few, yes. Thank you. I've been in 3 parades myself. I marched in one, I sang in the combined schools choir in the other, and I was part of the team that fired off the fireworks in the 3rd parade. It is a fantastic event that draws the whole country together. It reminds us of how we were, what we are, and where we are going. Today, I'd like to talk about Christians and our nation, our secular nation here. I'm going to take a different route. My text is Psalm 67, verses 1 to 5. You heard it read out just now. Psalm 67, verses 1 to 5. And this is a wonderful prayer that begins by asking God to be gracious to us and to bless us. Now, who wouldn't want to be blessed by God? Some of you may even remember that 18 years ago, in 2000, a popular Christian writer published a book called The Prayer of Jabez, Breaking Through to the Blessed Life. Bruce Wilkinson discovered an obscure prayer in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, and wrote a book about this prayer from a fellow named Jabez. And the prayer goes, "Oh, that you will bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me. and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain. And the Bible says God granted this prayer. When Bruce Wilkinson drew attention to this prayer, it just went viral. Wilkinson sold 9 million copies of his book. He became an instant multimillionaire. The prayer spawned not only a wide range of books. You could buy the prayer for Jabez for children, for teens, for women. You could buy a prayer of Jabez journal, a prayer of Jabez devotional, a prayer of Jabez Bible study guide. The prayer also generated an array of merchandise. You could buy a prayer of Jabez mug, a prayer of Jabez keychain, a prayer of Jabez mouse pad, and so on. Everybody prayed the prayer of Jabez. And particularly popular were versions where the prayer of Jabez says, "Bless me indeed," according to the version of the Bible. Now God answers prayer. God wants to bless us. And the Bible tells us that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. But I worry about this prayer because it might encourage people to ask God for blessings for selfish reasons. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 3, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." So God may not grant selfish prayers arising from the urge to satisfy our own desires and lusts. Prayers like, "God, please bless me and give me more money because I want to buy a yacht." The prayer of Jabez is a good prayer. But here in Psalm 67 is a better one. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. This is a communal prayer. It is a shared prayer, a joint prayer by the people. Be gracious to us and bless us instead of bless me. It is a prayer that looks beyond the self to others. And the focus is on all of us and also on God's purposes. The main point of the prayer is that God blesses us so that the nations will be blessed. The key word is here in verse 2. That bless us that your way may be known on earth and your saving power among all nations. The hope is for the peoples, all the peoples, to praise God. The hope is for the nations to be glad because it is God who is the righteous judge and the one who will guide the nations. God will bless his people so that we can be a blessing to the nations. And this was God's repeated plan throughout the Bible. For example, God chose and called Abraham to follow him so that Abraham would be a blessing to the nations. In the first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 18, we read, "The Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice.'" When Abraham showed that he was willing to obey God, God made a covenant with Abraham. And God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, "I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that's on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. In you, all will be blessed." Because Abraham obeyed, God will bless all the nations of the earth through Abraham's offspring. God blesses his people so that everyone will be blessed. Even the prophets said this. Jeremiah chapter 4, Speaking on behalf of the Lord, the prophet says, "If you return, O Israel, declares the Lord, to me you should return. If you remove your detestable things from my presence and do not waver, and if you swear as the Lord lives, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness, then nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory." In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, God promises Israel, "I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." I think it is clear that it is God's plan that all the nations will glory in him. And this is what the psalmist says here in Psalm 67. God will bless his people so that everyone can be blessed. As the writer John Piper said, "This is not because God does not love us or is just using us. It's because he loves the nations, and because he knows that our joy in all that God is for us increases when it expands into the lives of others." In other words, when we ask for God's blessing on us for the sake of the nations, we are also asking for our joy to be full. And as we celebrate our bicentennial in Singapore, we know this to be true, that when our nation is blessed through us, our joy is full. We are happy. We are proud. Now, I'm proud to be Singaporean. I consider myself a true patriot. Let me give you an example. My first job was as an administrative assistant, and then later as an administrative officer in one of our universities. I was posted to a faculty that was expanding rapidly, and I was the only administrator there. And so I had to do everything from examinations to property management to human resource. And I received many applications from lecturers overseas wanting to work at my faculty. Sometimes I received resumes, application letters in packages addressed to Singapore, China. These packages I wouldn't even bother to open. I just dropped them into the bin. "You don't know where my country is, don't come to work here." It's okay. Years later, I confessed to the former registrar of the university who interviewed me for the job earlier. We were in the same church. We had a good laugh. Nowadays, of course, I know of better ways to stand up for my country. Your vicar, Canon Terry Wong, said, "For a true patriot, a true Singapore dish is mee pok." So after the first service, I crossed the road to Kwan's Mee Pok and had myself some bak chor mee. Those of you who don't know, ask your neighbour. How can God blessing us translate into a blessing for the nations in general and for our nation in particular? The answer is in the psalm. "That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations." God blesses us so that his way and his saving power may be known. What is God's way? What is God's saving power? It must be the way of love and grace, the way of righteousness, the way of forgiveness, of service, of honor and glory. And all these we have been taught. All these we know because of God's saving power in us. It goes beyond merely evangelizing people. It goes beyond missions to other countries. As God's people, we show his love and grace and power to our nation and to all nations. We do this in all the situations God has placed us in. So are we loving and gracious at home to our family, to our neighbors, to our domestic helpers? When everybody else is ignoring their neighbors, don't know or care who they are, do we go and help them, look out for them? At school and at work, do we model integrity and honesty and uprightness? Are we fair and just? I once asked a Christian civil servant, "What would you do if you were ordered to do an immoral act?" And he proudly replied that in all his career, he has never been asked to do anything illegal or immoral. But If he were asked, he would resign. Do you stand up for what is right at your workplace? God calls people to service, not just in the church, but in society as well. Remember, Jesus also said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." In other words, give to the state authorities what they are due, and they are due taxes. So we pay taxes. And the state authorities are also due service. So males here do national service in the police, civil defense, and armed forces. But beyond national service, all of us can serve our nation. We can serve as volunteers to help others in society, not just the poor and needy, although they need more help, but also people in general. We can volunteer in community work, in residence committees, for example. We can even volunteer in the police special constabulary. We need to serve in society because we have to model how God's people should live in society. We are not angry, bitter, unforgiving people. Christians are loving, gracious, righteous, caring, honest, moral people. And all of us should ask ourselves how we can show this in all the situations God places us in or in which we insert ourselves. We have to take one step more to go further. You will remember that in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. This seems very odd. I mean, who will make you go 1 mile? It is odd until we learn that in Jesus' time, there was a Roman law known as the Lex Angeria. And any Roman legionary could compel any civilian to carry his army pack for 1,520 paces, for 1 Roman mile, and only for 1 mile. And there were markers along the road every mile. The legionary could be punished if he made a civilian carry his pack for more, but the civilian would be flogged if he refused to carry the pack. And the fact that Jesus mentions this shows that the law was being practiced and enforced. But Jesus said, go 2 miles. Be better than the Roman system. Be more humble and loving than what the law demands. I read an imagined conversation of what could have happened then. Roman soldier says to a Christian, "Hey you, carry my pack." Christian says, "Yes sir." And then he joyfully starts walking along with the soldier. After 1 mile, soldier says, "Okay, you can put it down now." But the believer says, "I would really like to carry it another mile for you." Shocked soldier asks, "Why would you do that?" And the Christian explains, "I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. He told us to do this for you." What does the soldier ask next? The soldier's next question would be, "Who is this Jesus that you follow?" Similarly today, we have to show that our way of doing things is more loving and gracious and better than other systems. We have to show that God's power saves us not just from death at the end, but also from sin and evil today. In doing all this, we witness to the power of God in our lives. 4 days ago, our former ambassador, Professor Tommy Koh, said at the Singapore Bicentennial Conference that many Singaporeans are selfish and unkind. If so, then Christians in Singapore have to show that we are selfless and kind. After all, we have to be a light to the nations. We have to change the world. And we cannot do this if we are always just following the world. I would like to encourage all of us to pray this Psalm 67, to ask God to bless all of us so that the nations, our nation, can be blessed. I would also ask you to consider how you can be a blessing to Singapore, to the people around you. so that God's way may be known and his saving power to all nations. Amen. Come, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word written down in the Bible, your word come to life in Jesus. We thank you for his example and his living in us. And we ask, Lord, that every day you help us to become more and more like Jesus, to draw nearer to you so that we may become the people you want us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.